Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast, Championship Week. James Coe here with you. It's a smaller than usual cast of characters. We got the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin. What's up?
It's the same size. We're just not getting a phone.
I know, but I was confused.
I did a count again real quick. I was like, one, two.
No, because we don't have the franchise on today's episode, and I'm sad. The Fiery Phoner has become like a cult classic.
It's a great segment. You know, he's taken it to another level.
Absolutely.
And the people have responded.
They love it. The fact that he brings in his own fire siren.
You know, I mean, I think if 2016 has taught us anything, it's that people love some fiery rhetoric. Whether it's true, false, or about fantasy football.
It doesn't matter. Exactly.
Ow.
I like it. MG, my guy Marcus Grant, what's going on? Oh, it's good. It's weird. You know
this, James Coe. We're doing a Fantasy Live show on Saturday instead of Sunday, which has thrown my week completely off.
Absolutely. I hear that. I 100% hear that. I'm dreading it tomorrow. But that's okay. tomorrow. Wow. That is just it. Okay. Anyways, first world problems. I'm staggering here.
I had to reset. I had to set a new alarm for like a day that I normally don't have one.
I'm looking forward to waking up about 4:30 a.m. on Saturday. It's good. I was gonna call you the West Virginia Fine, but then there was a guy on Twitter who said you're from Georgetown now, which I'm like, where did that narrative come from?
That's in West Virginia.
Oh boy,
I think.
I assumed it was the neighborhood in D.C.
We're doing it. We're going NPR fantasy.
Oh please not. Yes.
Oh. James Coe. Oh, yes. Georgetown is an unincorporated community in Marshall County, West Virginia, United States.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's located on County Route 250/14 along the Pennsylvania Fork, Fish Creek, near the Pennsylvania border.
I thought he was
Georgetown is also it is a town in it's part of Washington D.C.
It's a neighborhood in D.C. Right?
I see. I thought he was just saying that you were a former Hoya. Which would just be wholly incorrect.
No, that is wrong.
Wow. NPR fantasy. All right, here we go. We got a big-time show in front of us here today.
See how long I can keep this.
I hope not very much longer. The tight end apocalypse is fully upon us. We'll give you some tight end sleepers going into your championship week. We do not have, as I mentioned, franchise's Fiery Phoner. I'm very sad. We're going to do a little game scripting today, though. New York Jets at New England. How is that game going to go? There's some points to be had there. Where will those fantasy points go? San Diego at Cleveland, same situation. A lot of fantasy points to be had. Will it be a run-heavy approach? Will it be a pass-heavy approach for San Diego? Who's going to get in? Minnesota at Green Bay. We will talk extensively about Ty Montgomery, Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams. How will that game script go? And finally, San Francisco at L.A. Is it return of Todd Gurley? Everyone's been running on San Francisco, but Todd Gurley sucks.
True.
Will he finally get off the schneid?
Stay
tuned on NPR Fantasy. We're, of course, going to do EDG as well every damn game. And we close out, as always, with your round of daily daps. But first, we start, as always, with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
I watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right, we'll start in Hotlanta. Julio Jones taking off the injury report. He's going to play Saturday versus Carolina. He's missed the last two games with a toe injury. Look, obviously you're going to play Julio Jones. There's just no question about it. But the question to me really becomes, what do you do with Peter Gabriel? I mean, the guy's been absolutely phenomenal. 6 touchdowns in the last 7 games. How about this? He is the wide receiver 3 the last 4 weeks. The wide receiver 3.
Mm-mm.
He's got more fantasy points than Antonio Brown. Alex Gelhar, I'll ask you, what do you do with Taylor Peter Gabriel?
I think it's going to be hard to sit him given his ceiling. I mean, if you have the space and you can play him in your flex, I think it's worth chasing it there. Unless you're gonna try and put in somebody who's going to give you the safer floor, I'd rather go down swinging with a guy like Gabriel. They've been manufacturing touches for him for weeks in valuable areas. So I'd be comfortable still starting him even if Julio Jones is there, because then Julio Jones would probably draw James Bradbury, I'd assume. Does he shadow Harmon or not really? He kind of stays to his one side, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's mostly been at left cornerback. Like, I can't do the NPR thing anymore.
I was like, kind of why I wanted to toss it to you too.
I could have done. I mean, normally.
Oh man,
he stays on one side.
Oh
so
boy,
we can expect that to continue.
But this game should figure to be a high scoring battle, and I'd totally be fine playing Gabriel.
MG, you throwing him in the flex?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen that with Julio, without Julio, they're still finding ways to get him the ball. The crazy thing is he's been super efficient with minimal number of touches.
That's what worries me, though. If he doesn't hit the home run, what happens? He gives you nothing.
Yeah.
That's the case with a lot of players.
Right, that's a risk with a lot of guys at this point. I mean, I know we're going to talk about tight ends. I mean, that's been the case with just about every tight end.
That's true, but I mean, when we're talking about flex positions, I mean, there's so many options.
Yeah, but I mean, this is kind of like, what are you waiting? What do you have to lose, sort of thing, besides the championship? Other than that,
I bet you somebody's going to have this conundrum of, do they play Jeremy Hill or Taylor Gabriel?
I think it just depends on what your lineup needs, and you guys, if you've made it this far in fantasy, you ought to be smart enough to figure that out.
There you go. All right, let's go to Indianapolis. Colts head coach Chuck Pagano says he fully expects Dante Moncrief. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury. He's going to play week 16 versus the Raiders. I think he's got a super high ceiling. It's supposed to be the highest scoring game of the weekend, but just those hamstrings are so tricky. Dante Moncrief, through his short career, has shown himself to be I hate to use that label, but he's been a bit injury prone. And I just think the ceiling is great and the floor is pretty risky too. The hamstring can easily be re-injured, but I just don't. There's just no way you could sit him against the Raiders. I just don't see it.
I could.
Tell me why.
I could.
How is that?
He's been so touchdown dependent the last few weeks.
This is going to be a high-scoring
and
game,
he's
man.
Yeah, but still, you're banking on him getting a red zone look then, because he's not going to score from distance. That's going to be Hilton or Dorsett.
Ugh.
And they've got they've got a million and one tight ends and Frank Gore. So I feel like I don't know that his ceiling is high if he gets those red zone scores, but if they're popping off long touchdowns to T.Y. Hilton, he's going to...
I mean, why do they have to introduce Eric Swoop into the mix?
Hey, he's a former basketball player.
Why do they got to do that to us?
I just told you why.
Because he used to play basketball?
Play basketball,
oh, okay,
buddy.
Got it. Oh, I see. Oh, okay, got it. All right.
Perfect. I actually think the floor is better for Moncrief because of that red zone work than he really has a ceiling. Like, he hasn't had more than 60 yards since week one.
Let's say he has like a 60-yard two-touchdown performance. That's not out of the realm
possible. It's not out of the range of outcomes at all.
Which is a great game.
Outcomes?
Range of outcomes. All right, there you go. In Cincinnati, dude, your NPR thing has got me tripping right now.
I'm not even doing it.
I know you're not, but it's...
Are you just ready for it to, like, come back?
Please don't.
High alert?
It's some of that. It threw off my energy off the top of the show, and plus we're in, like, this half-lit podcast studio right
now. You came in
with... We can turn on the other lights.
Where are the other lights?
They're on that computer over
there.
They're
on that computer?
Somebody just hit the fantasy button.
Pass.
I suggest
to all of them to move, and they look at the distance. People listening, it's legitimately, like, 3 feet away from Marcus, and he gave it a headphones off.
Hard pass. Oh, wow. I mean, AJ Green in Cincinnati says he's healthy enough to rock and roll Saturday versus Houston. Are you rolling him out championship week, Harmon?
What a show off. Gelhard just gets up, comes in the other side of the room.
Yep, he's never gonna,
we got lights, baby.
No, honestly, now it's a little too bright.
No, it's really not. Oh, wait a second.
This is kind of a cool lighting.
No, we'll never hear the end of this now because he actually walked in a different room to turn on the lights.
This is good radio. I was talking about the lightings. If I have AJ Green on my team, I'm playing him, though. I mean, I think that Dalton has been so much more effective as a deep passer. I mean, statistically, he has 100 quarterback rating on passes that travel 20 or more yards in the air with AJ Green, and he has a 77.4 quarterback rating without AJ Green on those sort of deep passes. So I think that the upside for Green is still there.
By the way, those are amazingly high numbers.
I know. It's interesting. I mean, he's been very effective because Green is really good at football.
Wow. It's also that little thing of Tyler Eifert not being available this week.
Yeah, see, that is because I was actually going to write up Andy Dalton as a play for the DFS roundup today, but Eifert being out kind of gave me a little bit of pause, and I decided to yank him out of there. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he has a pretty good game. If AJ Green's out there, I'm going to play him, but I think he's riskier than Julio Jones is.
Oh, my gosh. AJ Green scares the bejesus out of me, mostly because he needs, 36 yards to get to 1K, and it would be six consecutive seasons to start his career with 1,000 yards, tying Randy Moss. I just wonder if he gets that in the first half. I honestly wonder what the motivation is to come out in the second half.
I don't know.
So then, does he shut down week 17 then too?
I would be not that surprised if he said, you know what, I can't go.
That is really weird though, to just come out and get 36 yards and be like, peace. I know Steve Smith joked about, or I don't know, you know, who knows if he's joking or not. Apparently he was, because he didn't do it, but he said like, I only need, you know, 300 something yards to get 1,000 for a career, and like I might just do that and then ride off. And so obviously he didn't do that. Like, I don't know. I think that players, if they're gonna play, they're gonna play.
All right, there you go. Adrian Peterson ruled out this week against Green Bay. He didn't practice at all. He rushed 6 times for 22 yards versus Indianapolis.
He's already been ruled out.
Yeah, I know. Adrian Peterson, he's gone.
Get out of here.
So just in case you were, you know, freaking out over what to do about it, your decision's been made for you.
I mean, it's amazing how many people were trusting Adrian Peterson.
I mean,
how many people do you know that really were, though?
I'll tell you what. I'm in a 12-team league, very competitive, very competitive. And the guy that I was going up against had Adrian Peterson in his starting lineup an RB2. I'm like, don't do that.
On the one hand, I get it, because I think all the people, the very small handful of people that were kind of advocating for it, the argument, which I think is faulty, but the argument is, well, he's Adrian Peterson, and look at what he's done other times he's come back from injury. And he just looked, you know, and like, it had nothing to do with what we had seen from him on the field and everything to do with the name on the back of his jersey. And so I think that is what has led to some confusion and some frustration for a lot of people is, well, what happens if I sit him and he has one of those crazy Adrian Peterson games? But, folks, it's been a while since we've seen him have one of those crazy Adrian Peterson games.
Oh, it's been ridiculous. I will say this. I think that Jerick McKinnon is actually a playable asset in PPR formats. He's been double digits last 4 weeks. He's been averaging 14 points per game over those last 4 weeks in PPR formats. In standard formats, not so much.
That was a surprising nugget, James. You had that in news and notes, too, and I went to double-check it because I was like, what? It's no way.
I know.
But he has. He snuck it in there with his handful of catches and like
50 yards.
It's weird.
He had 9 catches on 9 targets last week.
And all of it came at the end of the game, too, yeah. By the way. But
well, that should be the script that they're in this week when they get smoked by Green Bay.
You know what? We're going to talk about this game.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
I don't know, man. Matt Forte, he's got a knee and shoulder issue. He didn't practice this week. He's a game-time decision against New England on the road. MG, what you doing about Bilal Powell?
I'm worried about Bilal Powell.
Really?
Well, mostly because I feel like this is a game where the Pats run off and hide real quick, and then suddenly it's Bryce Petty slinging it 50 times.
To Powell.
He slung it to Powell.
He had 11 catches last week.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm concerned about Powell. Like, I'm in a situation where I think I might have to play him because I'm looking at, in one of my championships, Bilal Powell v. Tim Hightower situation, so I will probably have to play
Powell
him.
For days.
But, yeah, I don't know. I worry that they may just start slinging it to, like, Robbie Anderson and Sherrone Peak and guys down the field like that.
I think he's got a great floor.
I do, too. I'm on the opposite side. I'm, like, upset if I didn't get him in other leagues and can't play him in championships.
Okay.
I'm like, man, I wish I would have won Bilal Powell this week.
I mean, on the road against New England?
He's going to get carries to start the game, and he's going to get catches if they get behind. He's going to get touches. Like, he's a guy, I think he's had like 30. He's
30 and a half touches
the last two weeks. Yeah, as basically the featured back, he's had over 30 touches the last 2 weeks.
That's a ton.
Even if the game script goes negative, which I guess we're teasing to get to that again, Powell's a huge play this week for me.
All right, there you go. Greg Olsen, elbow injury, didn't practice Thursday, but he is expected to play. Ron Rivera said he's very confident. He said, quote, no doubt that Greg Olsen will play. Melvin Gordon, hip knee, did not practice this week. He was ruled out. He was ruled out for the game Saturday against Cleveland. All right, let's talk about the tight end apocalypse. Ladarius Green concussion. He looks extremely unlikely to play. Jesse James told reporters he's actually expecting himself, Jesse James, to start. Jordan Reed's shoulder didn't practice all week. He sounds doubtful. Tyler Eifert, back. He's been ruled out with a back injury going against the Texans. The people out there, Ladarius Green, Jordan Reed, Tyler Eifert, all out.
It's crazy.
And then you look at the waiver wire. It's like, oh, Gronk is on the IR. Jordan Cameron is on the IR. Gary Barnage hasn't done anything. I mean, tight end is an absolute disaster. I want you guys to give the people some hope. Give the people a tight end sleeper you feel not great about, because let's be honest, there's no great plays out there, but somebody that you feel okay with. Maybe that you said, okay, either has a high ceiling or maybe he's got a high floor. Who do you guys like? We'll start with you, MG.
I'm looking at C.J. Fagodowicz.
Okay.
Now that he's back, it looks like he's going to be back out of the concussion protocol, should play. The Bengals have done a fairly good job of locking down receivers on the outside, but the middle of the field has kind of been open, and now especially, I think, what, Vontaze Burfict, I believe, is out this week, so... maybe that helps a lot. I don't know what kind of rapport he has with Tom Savage, but I still think he sees a lot of targets in the middle of the field. And if for whatever reason, Fedorowicz doesn't play, then I think Ryan Griffin slides right into that same spot.
All right. How about it, Matt Harmon?
Okay, actually, can I ask you a question, Marcus, before
sure.
you move on to me about CJ? The one worry I have with him is, like, Savage did say, I'm going to go out and rip it. Which is like the exact opposite
of throwing
of
the tight end.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what Brock Osweiler did was he just stuck in that like kind of middle square of the field. Didn't go outside. Didn't go outside the numbers. Does that worry you at all with Fagodowicz?
I mean, a little bit. But I do think at some point Tom Savage wants this job too. And so like if ripping it doesn't work and he starts throwing picks, maybe he reins it in at least a little bit. Like I do think he's going to try to get it to Nuke because he's not dumb.
Yeah, smart move.
But he also wants to move the ball down the field and generate points, and some of that means making some safe throws occasionally.
I think Braxton Miller is an interesting play this week too.
What?
Yeah, I know.
That's weird.
Backup.
What did you?
I know.
Is this why you came in a little late today? Were you?
Are you drunk?
I am.
Did you tie one off?
No. Let me.
What's in that protein shake, Joe?
Let me stop you. Let me tell you one reason why he's not a good play this weekend.
Is he out?
He's on injured reserve.
Oh, just.
So
I had to check.
I was like, this seems wrong.
I'm going with the backup quarterback, backup wide receiver combo.
Right. No, I knew that there was a converted Ohio State quarterback that was put on IR, and I had to double check.
And it
to
wasn't
make sure.
Terrell Pryor's.
Right.
Can we clip this off?
Oh boy, Matt Harmon.
Oh boy.
There's give me a tight end sleeper.
There's a few that I actually really like. If you're desperate, the number one. Being Jared Cook, though I don't think he's like available in a lot
of leagues. Yeah, that's true.
But I would say that he might be though. If he is, I think that he's been kind of like an X factor for this offense. I mean, they've been much better with him on the field than they have been with him off the field.
My gosh, he's had one good game all season.
He had 85 yards last week.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that there's a chance that he gets. I mean, he's higher on the pecking order than Randall Cobb. The Vikings have allowed a league low catch rate to wide receivers when lined up out wide.
Okay.
They force a lot of passing into the middle of the field. They've given up much more. We'll probably talk about this later, but they've given up a lot more deep passes with Harrison Smith being out. If he does not play again, I think that makes Cook a good play. The other guy is Jack Doyle. Your boy Jack Doyle.
In Rainbow Six. Let's go.
He played the most snaps of all those mysterious tight ends last week. He's primarily a pass catcher. Dwayne Allen's the blocker. And I think that this is a good matchup, decent matchup with the Raiders in a high-scoring game.
I like it. WizKid.
I'm going to go with Charles Clay. I mentioned him on the Monday pod, but I just picked him up in one league.
I like that.
The same stat I said. 28% of his receiving yards and 100% of his touchdowns have come in the last 2 weeks. He's played 13 games. Tyrod's been targeting him. The Dolphins are tied for the fifth most receiving. You shook your head at him when I had him in waiver wire last week as a streaming option, and guess what? He hit.
I know. Well, you know what? I just can't.
Dude, he's on that Zach Ertz plan where he doesn't show up till late in the year.
I hear that, but
Watkins is less than 100%.
Yeah.
That's par for the course.
He did play the Browns, though, last week.
Right. And he still scored a touchdown and had a bunch of yards.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but he doesn't play the Browns this week.
No,
I think.
The Dolphins.
Let me check my sources.
They're not great at defending the tight end position either.
No, no, I agree with that, but I guess I'll throw this out there. Mobile quarterbacks generally don't tend to use their tight ends.
He just Tyrod doesn't have a ton of pass attempts in general this year, but hey, I mean, look, we're talking about dumpster diving like tight end picks, and you're all like, oh, God, I can't believe you picked Charles Clay. Guess what? I found him at the bottom of the dumpster. And
you just picked up the dirty diaper at the bottom of the dumpster.
That's a good point. Jesse James is not a bad play. I think Vernon Davis, if he's available out there, is not a bad play as well. I'm going to give you the deepest of deep tight end plays, but this dude, Jeff Heuerman, in Denver.
This is a deep play, but I like it.
A.J. Derby. Okay, so the starter, Virgil Green in Denver, out with a concussion. The backup, A.J. Derby, out with a concussion. Literally, they have one tight end left on the roster, and that is this dude, Jeff Heuerman. He's a third-round pick out of Ohio State. So he actually does have some legit credentials. He made a couple nice plays in Week 15. I think two catches for 40 yards. And again, his athletic profile isn't great, but whatever. He's a third-round pick out of Ohio State.
He's a big dude, though.
He is a big guy.
6'6".
Yeah, they kind of said some nice things about him this offseason, too.
So last year, you didn't hear about him. He's a second-year player. You didn't hear about him last year because I think he tore up his knee and missed the entire season, his entire rookie campaign. So this is basically his first year, and now we're starting to hear about him, obviously, super late in the season. The Denver Broncos, I know that the offense is very concentrated to the two wide receivers there, but whatever scraps are left over seemingly are going to the tight end. They throw, on average, over the last 4 weeks, 6.25 targets to the tight end position. Hmm. Not necessarily to Jeff Heuerman, but to all of their tight ends combined have seen, you know, 6 targets over the last 4 weeks. There's only one tight end left. I don't know. He's a super, super deep play. And I know for sure if he catches a rando touchdown, he's definitely going to be on it. That helps no one. That's fine. But, again, you know, the volume's there, and there's nobody else left in Denver. So, whatever. Believe it or not, I swear I am rolling him out championship week in my 12-team league. I swear. That is
I'm starting in championship week in my 14-team league because I had Laddie Green and he's out.
So bad.
And honestly, I think I'm playing Clay over Fleener too because to hell with Fleener.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
That's what I'm saying. Fleener. I mean, Fleener's on my waiver wire, but I'm like, you know what? If I get 1 point for Heuerman and 2 points from Fleener, whatever. At least I could like look at Heuerman and say, hey.
Hey, look, you know what? I dove deep. And
you know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Seriously.
Let's do a little game scripting, shall we? Predict the game script in Jets, Patriots. Predict the game script, Matt Harmon.
I mean, you would think it will be a negative game script for the New York Jets and a very positive one for the Patriots. I mean, I think that what you would hope is that they get up really quickly by the passing game. And I mean, New York has been generous to basically everybody in the passing game. So I think you roll out Brady. I think you roll out Julian Edelman. But the problem with Edelman is like he's been getting a ton of targets and really not barely performing.
Oh, you mean he's Julian Edelman?
Yeah, like at expectation level for what you like. He's not doing anything extra. You know, he has 17, 11, 12, 15, and 12 targets the last 5 weeks.
That's crazy.
He's gone over 100 yards once.
That is insane.
He's been under 80 yards 3 times.
I was going to say, his floor, though, I think he's had 70 plus yards in like 7 or 8
games. He has. But I'm just like, if you're in a standard league, like, it's like, what is the ceiling here?
Right.
Even in a really good spot.
I know.
I love Malcolm Mitchell. In this spot, obviously, his red zone targets the last 4 weeks is tied for second or is one of the top two in the NFL. Chris Hogan, I think you can throw out even as like a...
Let me stay with you on Malcolm Mitchell.
Okay.
I love Malcolm Mitchell as well, but I think the people who are listening to this podcast, the people who have Malcolm Mitchell, he got one target last week.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Broncos.
One. Yeah, I was going to say.
No, I get it. So I'm throwing it out there. Make the people feel who have Malcolm Mitchell, maybe they're on the fence about playing Malcolm Mitchell.
Oh,
make them feel a little bit better about maybe throwing him out there.
Let me jump in super quick on your red zone thing. I tweeted this out yesterday. Since week 11, Malcolm Mitchell is tied for the league lead among wide receivers in red zone targets.
There it is.
10 with Crabtree and touchdowns 3 with multiple wide receivers. So, like, he is their favorite option in that space.
Can I also say this? The Jets have been beaten repeatedly deep downfield.
By everybody.
By everyone. Who is their deep downfield guy?
Chris Hogan.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's a good ceiling play. Like you're going to either get a 2 or like a 15 out of him. I think that's fine. I don't hate Chris Hogan at all. Malcolm Mitchell played 90% of the offensive plays last week. He's always on the field. I think he's been basically like we know the deal with the New England Patriots. Like they attack your weaknesses, and right. You saw them do that with Deion Lewis running up the gut, LeGarrette Blount in the red zone, a lot of passes, you know, to Julian Edelman and even Martellus Bennett a little bit over the middle of the field. You kind of knew that Hogan and Mitchell were not going to be factors going in. So the one target really was that was kind of to be expected. You know, before that, he's been on fire, basically.
Right.
You know, playing really well. He has over 80 yards and or a touchdown in his outside of that Denver game. In every game going into that one since the 49ers game in week 11. So I think Mitchell's a great play here.
Yeah.
In terms of game script, what that does, though, you would expect this to – even though the Jets, you know, on paper have a really good run defense, you'd still expect this to be a big LeGarrette Blount game. But I also like Deion Lewis, too. He set a career high in touches last week.
Okay.
Against the Broncos. So I think you have Lewis in championship week. You should probably try to get both those guys in your lineup. And then for the Jets, Marcus said it. It's going to be a lot of passing, you know, playing catch up.
Uh-huh.
You know, air quotes there for those that are listening. But, you know, Petty will sling the ball a lot. And I kind of like Brandon Marshall a little bit in this game.
Last week he was on a snap count limit.
I've kind of given up on Marshall this year.
I probably wouldn't.
By the way, the Jets have given up on themselves as well.
Yeah, well, and you know they deserve to be given up on. They deserve to give up on themselves. However, I think we kind of saw opportunity swing back his way. You know, we knew that Bryce Petty had been Robbie Anderson had been Bryce Petty's boy going into that game, but at the same time, like, you know, he did catch a long touchdown, but Brandon Marshall led the team with 45.8% of Petty's intended air yards. So I think we kind of saw things go back his way. I don't think I would play Marshall in like a season-long championship, but if you're playing DFS or whatever, I don't think he's a bad contrarian move.
MG, is there a Patriot you don't like because of game script? Not because, I mean, because everyone figures the Patriots is just going to destroy this team.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if there's one, you worry about like a James White or Deion Lewis.
Yeah, I would worry there too.
Those are the guys that concern you a little bit. So, like, for those guys, if the game goes the way we expect it to, you need them to get their points in early. Because otherwise, late, it's going to be a lot of LeGarrette Blount.
WizKid from Wisconsin, San Diego at Cleveland. Run heavy, pass heavy. What are we expecting from San Diego?
Dude, I don't know what this offense is. Like, I've been trying to figure this out all week. Like, all
right.
I mean, their running game was – Ronnie Hillman's probably going to get more work, so I'm worried about Kenneth Farrow because he was more efficient on a per-touch basis, and I think Mike McCoy even said, like, oh, we were really impressed with Ronnie's you know, ability to come right in and produce. So I'm hands off the backfield. You would like to think that Phillip Rivers would attack them through the air since that's where everybody attacks Cleveland, but – you know, Tyrell Williams had a concussion, and now he's got some other injury too, doesn't he? A labrum, I think.
That's what he's originally hurt with.
Yeah, he was originally hurt with that. Travis Benjamin's banged up. So, like, I would like to think it goes more through the air, and if I'm trusting anybody in this matchup on the San Diego side, it's going to be like Dontrell Inman, Hunter Henry as a streamer.
And you're rolling Phillip Rivers out confidently.
Semi-confident. Yeah. He hasn't been great recently, so even though it's a tremendous matchup, it still has me concerned. Like,
still throwing touchdowns, though.
What if this is the stupid game that Cleveland wins?
Which is what I've been saying for weeks, that this is going to be the game that they win.
But even if they win, does it matter?
No, but I mean, like, well, like, this is what happened when we had a good matchup against
Carolina. I mean, they're not
Carolina,
winning. They're not winning 15-6. You know what I mean?
I'm saying when they were down and out against Carolina, Rivers started getting behind and was throwing terrible passes. And, like,
if he throws a bad pick six or two in this one,
all of a sudden he's just, like, YOLO balling it up, like, the Cleveland guys can play center field out there and pick it off. So I'm not super confident in playing Rivers. I'm playing him in a league. So.
Interesting. All right. I will say this. Sammy Watkins last week. You know, the Buffalo run game obviously was very strong. They went with a run-heavy approach. You could do whatever you want.
I was going to say, they give up a ton of rushing yards, but they also give up a league-high 31 passing yards. So typically, or 31 passing touchdowns. So what teams have typically been doing is
run.
Attacking them through the air and then close it out on the ground. I think that could, if San Diego is going to win the game, I think that's how they could do it, is they go up. And also, Travis Benjamin revenge game.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He caught a long touchdown last week.
Good call. Oh my God.
And also, you know,
it's happening.
He is playing behind Williams, who hasn't been very effective lately because he's not healthy. What's his name? Inman is he's getting a lot of targets, but he's kind of a low ceiling player. Benjamin caught a long touchdown, averaged 18 air yards per target last week. Don't be surprised if he takes in a long one.
Oh my God. I like it. Minnesota at Green Bay. WizKid, give me a game script.
I mean, Zimmer has this. I want to think that as much as the Vikings defense struggled last week, that that's going to carry over into this week on the road. The team has a lot of troubles, blah, blah, blah. Zimmer has had Rodgers' number throughout his entire career, and Harrison Smith is coming back, as Harmon astutely pointed out in his next-gen stats write-up.
Is he definitely coming back? Because
he's questionable, and, like, what's the stat? Like, 84% of players who have been questionable have played? Like,
yes.
It's something, some obscenely high number. So that's concerning. But Rodgers at home, Packers offense is clicking, Rodgers in December, whatever trends, all, even just the way they're playing right now, I think they're playing too well. I think they should get up ahead, and if they do, it turns into a bad situation for the Vikings.
I mean, I think my thing with the Vikings, the only thing you really fear is their defense, but they can't get off the field. I mean, I shouldn't say this. Their offense can't stay on the field.
That's the better way to
put it. It's probably the better way to put it. So, like, the defense ends up getting worn out because their offense just can't keep possession of the
football. You watch the Vikings these last couple weeks. Like, if you're watching them on Game Pass, the condensed version, you blink and you'll miss them. Because, like, they're three and out super quick. Throwing short of the sticks, punt, defense is right back out there.
It was amazing to go back and watch that game, but as an aside, and on, like, third and two, watching Sam Bradford throw like barely to the sticks on third and two. You have receivers needing to get yards after the catch to make sure they pick up a first.
You almost can't really blame him either because he doesn't have a lot of time.
That offensive line has put multiple people on IR. They can't block anybody. The Colts got five sacks last week. Five.
What in the
Eric
world?
Eric Walden was their best pass. Is their best pass rusher? He's not even that good.
And Frank Gore had 100 yards. Rushing.
So I think with Montgomery's emergence, I mean, everything should be lining up for the Packers to have a great game. But nothing would surprise me.
All right. We'll stay with Ty Montgomery, who you brought up. Mike McCarthy said he told the media that that the future 2017 first-round fantasy draft pick, Ty Montgomery, could be used in an expanded role this week. You buying that versus
Bro, how can you expand more than what he did last week?
Receiving.
I mean, yeah, I guess receiving. That's true.
You like him this week against Minnesota's?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah?
No, like, no question. Oh, just, wow. Like, Frank Gore put 100 on him last week. I know he had, like, 26 carries, but still, he put 100 on him.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, he's going to play. He played 84.
Stark's coming back?
No. Out. Officially out.
Gushing.
It happened right before we came up here. I tweeted out he was officially ruled out by the team, so I was like, any concerns you had about Montgomery this week are gone. Fire him.
So, like, unless C-Mike is going to go Hall of Fame C-Mike on us. Like, I think that Montgomery is a great play.
I will say this, as we've been sitting here going through this podcast, you guys have convinced me to move Kenneth Farrow out of my lineup and put Ty Montgomery in.
Oh yeah, here we go.
Huge.
I don't hate Kenneth Farrow as much as others seem to this week, but I think that's definitely the correct.
Yeah, I don't hate him. I'm concerned that he's going to split like 24 carries in half with Ronnie Hillman.
What about the receivers? What do you got, pass catching wise? Who are you playing in this game?
Certainly not Randall Cobb.
Well, yeah, he's not I meant people that have not retired.
What the hell happened to Randall Cobb?
I think it was his ankle injury, and they've just kind of de-emphasized him a little bit. He's still out there running routes and stuff. He does not look the same, and I don't think Rodgers is targeting him because he's not 100%.
He had exactly as many catches as you did last week, James.
Oh, boy.
I'm obviously starting Jordy.
Yeah.
You simply cannot. And I know you made this good point in NGS that the Vikings have shut down outside receivers pretty well. But if we're looking at trends, Davante Adams has kind of been an other week proposition every other week and has never had back-to-back games this year with fewer than 8 fantasy points. So
interesting.
Well,
he should pop off this week.
That sounds like a trend that is bound to reverse course.
Nah, bro, it's infallible.
Yeah, because that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I mean, the Vikings have allowed, like I said, a 49.7% catch rate to outside wide receivers. You know, if Harrison Smith comes back, that's a big difference. Again, you talked about a Next Gen Stats column that I wrote. They give up a 24.7 passer rating on passes that travel 28 yards or more in the air with Harrison Smith playing. Without him, 130.8.
You know, it's interesting to me, when you get to this point in the season, motivation becomes huge. Motivation True. Becomes gigantic. Minnesota basically out of everything. They have nothing really to play for, but except for the fact that they're playing Green Bay. And for whatever reason, everyone in the NFL likes to show up against Green Bay. And whether or not they win or lose, you know, at least in the first half, you're going to get a good effort.
It's that unlikable owner they have.
All the people with paper on the walls.
Oh.
So I think the motivation will be there for Minnesota. I know that they got gashed last week against Indianapolis.
It's a back up against the wall, like bounce back kind of game.
That's what I'm worried about.
That's why nothing would surprise me.
That's what I'm worried about.
I don't see a Mike Zimmer team being one that's gonna like quit either. And they also, I think they still really believe in the future of this team. Like they, I feel, you know, this sucks. Like having to play fantasy analyst slash pretending to be a fantasy analyst and also pretending to be a psychologist at this point in the year.
Sure.
But at the same time, I think that this is a team that believes in the future. They believe in the nucleus that they have there, you know?
That's all really well and good. They're still not good on offense.
No, they still suck. I mean,
no, like, no, honestly, MG, it's more about the Minnesota defense for me, because I don't think anybody's invested in the Minnesota offense, but so many people are invested in the Green Bay offense. It's more of like setting expectations. What are the expectations for Jordy Nelson? What are the expectations for Aaron Rodgers? What are the expectations for Ty Montgomery? And I think that, to me, that's way more interesting than talking about Minnesota's offense because they're trash.
Because they got embarrassed on defense last week against the Colts. I mean, they got shellac.
That's what I'm saying.
They let Philip Dorsett score a 50-yard touchdown. That's embarrassing.
And I don't think we're going to see that kind of performance again. I just don't think so. I don't know. I could be wrong. San Francisco at L.A. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, give me a game script. Tell me what Todd Gurley's going to do.
I think we'll be okay. I think we're going to be okay here, folks.
Will he actually have more than 85 rushing yards?
I mean,
will he be a top 10 running back this week?
In the case of stoppable force against movable object, I think the force actually kind of pushes forward a little bit. It's not going to be a fun game to watch. Like, don't watch this for like enjoyment's sake. I mean, you know, have some eggnog and enjoy some time with the fam, and you know, maybe you can tune into this game a little bit. But there's no real telling of how this game is going to go, because both of these teams are so bad.
So bad.
I mean, the one thing I do look at is I think this is a game where you can have some faith in the running back. So, I mean, okay. Todd Gurley on one side, Carlos Hyde on the other side. I mean, the one thing we've learned about Carlos Hyde this year is that he's really been immune to game script for the most part.
Right.
Regardless of what the situation is, the Niners have given him the football either as a receiver or a runner. So he's going to be fine there. You know, Gurley, I think you can trust against a run defense that is historically bad this year. So, you know, I mean, I don't think you're going to get one of those crazy 150-yard, 2-touchdown games out of him. But, you know, if you can get close to 100 and a touch, look, man, that's great from Todd Gurley, considering what he's given you so far this year. So I think you're fine there.
Right.
I'd stay away from Jared Goff. I mean, I think he could have a decent game, but it's just, you know, it's not a risk you're taking this week.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe
championship week,
Maybe it's a maybe it's a DFS stack if you're feeling a little frisky or something like that.
No, it's
no.
All right, so then forget that.
This is the big question for me. Like, we would never put any, you know, financials on this because we're not crooks. But what do you guys think, like, the total points scored will be in this game?
It's supposed to be extremely low scoring.
Yeah.
I mean,
as a matter of fact, it's supposed to be the low scoring game.
I could see 30. It, like, in the
30.
I was gonna, 16 to 14. Everybody wins.
I was going to put it like low 40s, but man.
No, it's
wow.
Yeah, it's anticipated to be lower scoring than 40.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's my thing, like, cuz if you're going to actually want to play anybody in this game, that's bad.
So good news, folks. If you are in Los Angeles this weekend,
yes,
and you're looking for something to do on Saturday afternoon,
that's right.
Stop on by the Coliseum. Sure, they'll be glad to have you come on in.
How much do you think you could buy a ticket?
Be plenty
for
of room,
like $3.
Look, I have it on very good authority.
Yeah.
That tickets for the Rams Falcons games a couple of weeks ago could be had in the parking lot for $10.
$10? This is going to be worse.
Nope.
Now, mind you, parking in the parking lot of the Coliseum was $60.
What?
So
get no.
The hell out of
what?
So you
get
know,
out of here. Why would parking be $60?
It was
crazy.
90
nobody's
earlier
coming.
In the season.
No, I know, but that's when people were coming to games. Now, yeah, so, now nobody's coming to games.
Mind you, there is also you know a public transportation system that drops you off literally on the doorstep
right.
of the stadium.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how you can't get off paying $60? That's crazy.
StubHub.
Yes.
Tickets are $30 right now.
Sponsored the
and that's stupid because you could go. You could go to the stadium.
You can get them for less than $30.
I could go get, you know, two in L.A., two beers for $30 and have more fun than I would watching that game.
You could go to Silver Lake and get one cocktail.
Guys, no, all football games are awesome. We love the NFL. Woohoo!
I love the NFL.
All right, let's move on to the
I'm
next
gonna watch,
topic.
I'm going to watch the game. I'm just not going to go to it.
I love the NFL. This game is trash.
Woo! This game's going to be awesome. Yeah!
All right, let's do.
Music.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Great.
No,
what is
not.
Franchise back there?
No, just change the subject.
EDG, every damn game we're going to start. It's remember, guys, most of the games are happening Saturday.
Yep.
Yes.
Set your line. If you're listening to the podcast,
set your lineup
right now.
Right
most
now.
Most of the games start on Saturday. We're going to start in Carolina. NFC South, the ATL taking on Carolina. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Oh, his favorite team.
It's your favorite team.
The Falcons?
Negative.
Well, speaking of the lowest scoring game of the week, this is supposed to be one of the higher scoring games of the week.
Yep.
Let's start on the Falcons side.
All right.
I mean, I think you're playing Matt Ryan, obviously. Like the Falcons have scored more points than anybody. I think we already kind of covered Julio Jones and everybody well. The question there is, like, the backfield. Carolina's run defense has been really good. I don't know if I'm trusting Tevin Coleman unless you just need a straight ceiling shot. But Devonta Freeman's been so good. He has passing game work pretty much locked down that I think I'm fine with that. So I think you kind of know what the situation there is with Atlanta. And then on Carolina's side, Cam Newton played really well Monday night. You talk about you know motivation here in December. This looked like a team that does not want to lay down.
Yep.
That I think they know that they let – an opportunity slip away from them this season that bothers them, yada yada.
Don't they have like
stuff.
5 losses by 3 points or fewer?
Yeah, that's Panthers football.
Oh, it is.
That is that's been Panthers
but, like,
football for 5 years.
Two
now.
Years ago, when they went like 7-8-1 or whatever, or even maybe it was the year before that, they had like the highest number of losses within 7 points in the league.
That's what was so surprising about their season last year, as a you know. As an observer of this team, is that like they would blow the doors off of teams last year, and you never saw that in like the Ron Rivera, Cam Newton era. Everything that was so heartbreaking about them originally was like they'd have a lead, they'd lose it, and then they'd lose the game.
For the record, by my count, 4 losses by 3 points or fewer.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, so
because those all 4 of those games could easily go the other way.
Coin flip. Right.
Coin flip.
And so this game, I think like. I think this will be a pretty competitive game. I think they'll trade blows back and forth. Both these defenses have holes in which you can pick on. Atlanta's run defense, they've allowed the 4th fewest rushing yards to the yards to running backs over the last month. But at the same time, you got to look. They were like blowing the doors off Los Angeles, blowing the doors off San Francisco. So I think that they will be – this is a pretty good spot for Jonathan Stewart, even though he's a gross player to use in fantasy. He did get his first 100-yard rushing game last week, so I think I'm okay with playing him, but it is still, of course, risky. You know, at least it's at home. And Greg Olsen, good matchup for him, yada yada. The receivers, you're not playing Kelvin Benjamin at this point. He's been bad. He's been hurt. He's not been hurt, but he's been, like,
ineffective.
He's been ineffective. They've also been, like, kind of they've regretted using him so much to start the year because they think they pushed him too much coming back the ACL. Whatever. The point is you're not using him in fantasy.
Right.
Ted Ginn, though, I think he has had pretty consistent usage. He's really only had one slow game the last month. So I think that you can play him with pretty good confidence against a secondary that can get beat.
All right. I like it. Next game on the docket, Miami at Buffalo. MG, what do you got?
Well, I'm looking at Jay Ajayi first and foremost, and I'm worried about him just because you know, he hasn't really given us much. It feels like those 3 big games he had in the middle of the season, it feels like it could have been last year.
But Marcus, he had 200 yards against the Bills last time they played.
Yeah, all of that is true, and that was last time.
That is not this time. Look, I think he can be okay. When I say okay, I mean you're talking about, you know, 80 to 90 yards, maybe hopefully a touchdown. But part of it has been that offensive line has just not been completely healthy since he went on that big run in the middle of the season. You're not starting Matt Moore. We can just forget about that. I mean, there's just nothing about the receivers that I love. I mean, Jarvis Landry has been underwhelming all year long. Devontae Parker has, again, been underwhelming most of the year. Kenny Stills is pretty much a ceiling play. You're hoping he hits a couple of long passes, long catch and runs, gets in the end zone. So there's too much inconsistency on that side for me to really feel comfortable about. On the Buffalo side, I like Tyrod this week. I think especially if he can get out of the pocket a little bit. Look, the Dolphins gave up 113 rushing yards to Colin Kaepernick a few weeks ago. I don't know that Tyrod gets quite that much, but I think it underscores the point that mobile quarterbacks can give this defense problems. So if Tyrod can get out and run, that should be some potential there. You know, Sammy Watkins, again, another kind of ceiling play, but just because he can never be 100% healthy, you just always are worried about him. You know, Charles Clay, Gelhard mentioned his potential sleeper this week at the tight end position. And then, of course, Shady. You're starting Shady, and you're not worried about that.
Washington at Chi-Town. Alex Gelhard, what do you got?
Let's see here. I think you can play everybody. Moving on. No, I'm just kidding. Jordan Howard's in a good spot this week. He's had his 99-plus scrimmage yards in seven straight weeks. And yeah. Washington, I think right now, is the 22nd-ranked run defense. So
okay.
Feel free to fire him up.
Alshon Jeffrey versus Josh Norman, you scurred?
Do we know if Norman's even going to shadow him or not?
Well, he'll cover him enough.
He'll probably hit him a fair amount, so I don't know. I think they started to get him more involved last week, and it'd be okay, Chase, throwing him out there.
Yeah.
Meredith should avoid him because he plays mostly in the slot these days. I think that was one of your next-gen stats things, too.
No, that was on Fantasy Hipsters.
Oh, it was on Fantasy Hipsters, yes. Right.
71% of his targets the last four games with Barkley as a starter have come from Loney's lined up in the slot.
There we go. Rob Kelly worries me slightly because he's only had averaged 47 yards rushing the last four games after starting 107. However,
okay,
I think this is a good matchup and game script for him to be started. So
I like it.
I wouldn't be an immediate plug and play, but I think there's a lot of things working in his favor this week, and he's the preferred goal line back. Other one, Jamison Crowder. Jordan Reed probably out. Crowder's been quiet the last few weeks, also only averaging about 40-ish receiving yards. But this feels like the type of game where Crowder could get loose in the middle of the field, yeah, especially with Reed out and
for
Davis
sure
being old and put together a nice game. I'm streaming Matt Barkley in two fantasy championships. So
no, you're not.
Please, fantasy gods, smile upon
me. I like it.
You're starting future Jaguars starting quarterback, Matt Barkley.
One's a 14-team league and one's a 12, and there are not many quarterback options.
I love it.
Matt Barkley, especially in games where they've fallen behind, the offense has averaged over 400 yards, total yards in the
four
games where he's been starting and they've been behind. So
outside of the snow game, he's averaged 43 pass attempts per game.
Right. So I'm like, why not? Maybe this is the week. Maybe this is the week it all comes together.
I love it.
This is
championship week. You're rolling out Matt Barkley.
Two of three championships.
Yeah, dude.
I am.
This is either the week that he. I mean, you could say week. It all comes together, but I mean, it's been coming together. This
yeah.
I just mean fantasy wise.
Well, I mean, but he's been putting up fantasy numbers too. But this could also be the week.
By the way,
everything
apart. Allow us to take a moment to reiterate that this is part of the reason you just don't play week 17 because you think you think it's bad now. Next week is going to be awful.
Oh,
if you play week 17, just unsubscribe from the podcast.
Please don't.
No, don't do that. Please don't do that.
Take it back. Don't do it.
No, instead, rate and review the podcast and tell us in
Matt
your review
Harmon, what are
you
doing?
You play week 17.
Why are you telling people? What's
rogue.
Wrong with you?
I'm sorry. I went rogue.
Okay. All right. That's not what they would do on the NPR Fantasy Podcast, by
You're
the
right.
way, bro.
I'm sorry. Please, okay. please don't unsubscribe.
James.
Okay. Now let me read you an ad.
Okay. Oh, that's fantastic.
Just kidding, NPR. Please hire me.
Tennessee at Jacksonville. Go, NPR.
Oh, this is my game?
Yeah, yes, you.
Oh, well, all right. Well, in that case, let's talk about this game.
Oh, no.
No, I think the Tennessee side, I think you pretty much know what's what. I think this is a good bounce-back spot for Mariota. Departed friend franchise wrote about why Mariota will bounce back in his Aaron Ground analysis, so read that at NFL.com/franchise. I agree with him there. The question, Jalen Ramsey's really emerged as a corner that we need to worry about where he's going to line up, and he's lined up all over the field. He's incredible. Such a good player. I think he sees a lot of Rishard Matthews, but I don't know if that's really enough for me to consider benching Matthews if he's a guy that you've been relying on because he's been the number one receiver. He's been so consistent. But I think it's enough to give you pause. This is, I think it's a good eruption spot for Delanie Walker. Because I think this game is going to
really?
Be I think this game is going to be a shootout. And that brings me to the
how can this possibly be a shootout?
I just – because Tennessee's defense sucks.
Okay, they're bad.
They've been targeted 101 times by wide receivers
okay.
the last 4 weeks, and that includes their bye week. So in three games, they've given up 101 targets to wide receivers. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I don't know if you can possibly trust Allen Robinson in a season-long league, but I do think that this is a
– This is the game?
This could possibly be the game. I mean,
I wanted to get behind that. Like, I really looked at that really hard this week, and I just couldn't.
I don't. Yeah, and I'm not going to make an impassioned case for it, but just don't be surprised if he pops up for a pretty good game.
Okay.
You know, the question, and again, you come back to motivation.
Yeah.
What are the Jags going to look like this week? You know, because are they going to like respond to their coach being fired? A lot of the players said that they felt this was kind of BS the way it was handled, and like he had to ride the flight home. So does that mean they're going to, you know, quit on the Jags, or are they going to, you know, come back for their fired? Which I always think is funny. Like when, and the Rams said that too. So
yeah.
Take that for what.
Dude,
it's
this
like.
One for Fish.
We're going to do this for Fisher.
How about all the other? How about all the other?
The 14 games before that, we didn't do it for anybody, but.
But this time we're doing for Fish.
You know, I think that this is an interesting game on Jacksonville's side. You know, so take that for what you will. And then the running game situation for Tennessee is interesting too because DeMarco Murray did not get a carry in the red zone. He did see one target, but Derrick Henry might be the preferred scoring back. He had 2 red zone touchdowns, 5 red zone carries. So, you know, take that for what it will. Take that for what you will.
I like it. Indianapolis at Oakland. Expected to be a straight shootout, baby. MG, what you got?
I was going to say, start everybody. Start everybody. Andrew Luck, you're starting. T.Y. Hilton,
Seth Roberts.
Starting. Seth Roberts, you might be able to start in some
honestly,
deeper leagues.
Honestly,
wow.
No,
really
it's true.
Might. Wow. You really might be able to start in some
yeah,
deeper
man.
Leagues. But
I don't hate it.
Can I jump in super quick on Seth Roberts?
Please.
Armin, you back read Deep Dive. You know what trend I identified in there.
What's that?
Seth Roberts has not had more than 3 straight games without a touchdown this season.
Uh-oh.
And he's had 3 straight games without a touchdown now. So trends this week, he should catch one.
That's
trends.
Lock it in.
Look out.
Just lock it in.
Boom.
Christ, some of these
in.
Trends you're coming up with.
But yeah, no, I mean like Luck, Hilton, Gore for sure. You know, I know we talked about Moncrief a little bit. You know, the tight ends. Spin the wheel, and if you find the right one, good on you. But yeah. One of those guys I think is going to score a touchdown this week. It's just a matter of figuring out whether it's, you know, whether it's Doyle or
please
Swoop
let it be Doyle.
Or Dwayne Allen.
Agree.
Don't
whatever. Let it be Dwayne Allen.
Nobody the Raiders side, I mean, Derek Carr, I think this is one of his bounce-back games because he has not been particularly great the last few weeks.
That injured hand.
Yeah, the hand. You know, you got Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, which still, Amari Cooper continuing to prove to the world that you don't need red zone targets to be a wide receiver one in fantasy, apparently.
Well, not anymore.
Okay, I guess he's slipped out of the top 10.
He's outside the top 10. He's wide receiver 11, but he's been... For fantasy, he's been worthless.
He's kind of vanished.
I mean,
lately.
He's had the one game with 10 targets against Kansas City, but didn't do anything. Since the game against Houston, where he had 57 yards and a touchdown, he has 22 yards, 59 yards, 29 yards, and 28 yards.
Yikes!
And only scored in the Buffalo game. So
yeah.
I mean,
that's ugly.
But I still think this is a week where you can see him.
Me too.
You can see him bounce back.
Latavius Murray, baby. Let's go.
Roll with Latavius Murray. Don't worry about Jalen Richard. I mean, I know he's been getting some touches in there, but he's not seeing anything near the goal line. I mean, he's been kind of a nice change of pace back to give Murray a breather, but he's not doing enough to warrant getting a spot in your lineup. I would also say if you're looking for a streaming defense – the Raiders are not a terrible play. No, they're really not. They've had it. Look, since week 9, they've had at least 7 fantasy points every single week. They've had like 2 or more sacks in just about every game.
That's interesting.
They've had 2 or more turnovers in just about every game. The thing about the Raiders is, and I've said this with Ike Taylor on the Game Day Blitz Couch Show every week, they will give up yards and they'll give up some points, but they are a great situational defense. When they need plays in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, that's when you see Khalil Mack or Bruce Irvin getting sacks. That's when you see them figuring out a way to pressure the quarterback and get turnovers. And so those things for fantasy actually start to add up. They get those turnovers, they get those sacks, and it means something. So if you're looking for a streaming play, you know, there may be some other ones. The Chargers are a good option for you, but don't sleep on the Raiders this week.
And points allowed really don't.
Doesn't really matter. I mean, unless you give up a gazillion points, it doesn't matter.
You give up 45 points, but as long as you get like 5 sacks on Andrew Luck, maybe get a pick,
yep,
you're fine.
Yep.
Tampa Bay at New Orleans. Gailhart, what you got?
What do I have? For starters, I am extremely worried about Doug Martin in this game because the we've talked about it a little bit on here, and I grabbed some numbers yesterday, put them out on the old Twitter.com.
Did you look at them first?
I looked at the numbers. And,
good.
And then I looked at them as I typed them into a tweet. And
oh, nice. Perfect.
I put them out so others could look at them.
Oh, good. Wow. That is generous. Yeah,
I good. Mean, it's just the season of giving, guys, yes. So I wanted to be out there.
Give those numbers
but
out.
Since week 9, when Sheldon Rankins returned, the Saints have allowed just 74.14 rushing yards per game and 3.6 yards per carry. That's a 7-game span that they've held this up. They have been shutting down opposing rushing attacks and faced good running backs, too. And Doug Martin, since he's returned in Week 10, has averaged just 2.8 yards per carry. Charles Sims came in, stole a bunch of the work last week, especially the passing down work. He saw 75% of the targets last week. So, like, I'd try to not start Doug Martin if you can help it this week. I know he's got
even against New Orleans.
No, he's got some touchdown upside and stuff, but yeah. I'm
no
scared.
Okay.
Nope, don't want it.
I think Cameron Brate's in play, though, because of his red zone opportunities. And
okay.
Like, we just ran through how awful tight end is. You can't turn away from a guy like Brate
right.
getting as much work there. Evans, he's got to bounce back at some point, guys, right?
Right?
Like,
I hope so.
Question
I need
mark,
him to.
Question mark,
well,
question
this
mark.
Is it's in the Superdome.
So that helps.
You know, so you would think that the Saints are going to build a league and a lead, and Tampa Bay will have to get off the game script that they've been on the last month where they've been playing really slow. We talked about that, I think, on Monday's podcast, where they're 18th in plays run since week 11, I believe, which coincides right away with his slump here.
Slump. And then on the flip side.
Man, who do you like for New Orleans? Who do you like?
I prefer.
Is this a Cooks game? Is it a Snead
game?
That's
my analysis.
Who is it?
I prefer
Michael Thomas.
I prefer Thomas
this week. I saw in the Next Gen Stats preview packet they were talking about Brent Grimes. He's been exceptional of late, probably being on Cooks more often than not. So this feels like it could be a Cooks down game, especially after his explosion.
You're not benching Cooks though.
No,
I don't
think
Cooks
can.
In any league, so I'm not. Yeah. I'm not doing anything with them.
Oh,
but
there you go.
I don't think you can sit him when he's home.
I didn't want any part of that roller coaster in the preseason, so there I didn't draft him anywhere.
I like it. I like it.
And then I guess Ingram out of the backfield. I think like he still saw more touches last week, and like squeaky wheel gets the grease theory this week. He complained on the sideline.
Yeah,
get it.
Like, what? But you know, the Saints are pretty petty. What if they just
I don't,
you know?
That's so I don't know.
I mean, they yanked him for a full game because of a fumble.
That's true.
Oh my God! Don't remind me. But yeah, so I don't know. Don't play Kobe Fleener. Just don't do it to yourself.
There's a good tip.
I think Breeze is fine though. Breeze is going to be okay this week.
It is amazing how much Kobe Fleener has played and how little
it's resulted in not much.
Tavon Austin gets it.
You know, which real super quick aside.
Yes.
Kobe Fleener, like everybody always talks about, you know, is it opportunity or is it talent or blah blah blah. I think it's got to be a merger of both because Kobe Fleener went to the Saints and a couple people like I was one of the ones throwing cold water on it. I warmed up a little bit to it. But like you said, dude has had legitimately every opportunity in an offense that was producing top-flight tight ends. And the only reason he's a top-10 tight end is because the position's a disaster. He has been awful this year.
He's the only healthy one. I mean, that all you have to do to be a top-10 tight end in fantasy this year is be healthy.
Yeah, I remember
seriously
that 2 years ago, too. Like, that's the way it goes.
So, you know, it's as we're ending the year here and we're going to start looking towards next year and stuff, it's a reminder that like you got to take a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B.
Sure. Players are not they're not just like binary codes like, you know, replace one with other. Now, you know, like it doesn't work like that.
Right.
They're not just, you know, mixed. Sometimes it does work like that, other times it doesn't, you know. That's why this stuff is, you know, hard to pin down.
Yeah.
Also new playbooks.
Right.
Play such a huge role.
Yeah,
we saw that last year with Jimmy Graham, he couldn't figure it out. This year, he figured it out.
And I think that's why people were so like, well, just, you know, Saints tight ends, man. Like, look, Ben Watson never did anything in his career, but then he popped up in New Orleans randomly and had a great year. But Ben Watson had also been there multiple years in the system as a blocking tight end, helping out Jimmy Graham. But then when he had to step up, he knew it. And then, you know, tight ends Kobe Fleener there comes in, does nothing.
And I would not be surprised if next year he actually does do something, though.
I would.
Who the hell knows?
Let me say this about Mark Ingram. He has been in a full-on timeshare.
Oh, of course you want to say some mean things about Mark.
It's true. Listen, he played 18 snaps last week in week 14. Tim Hightower played 19. Travaris Cadet played 18 as well. So, and I think now it makes 5 of the last 6 weeks, I think he's played 33% of the snaps or less. So he's in a full-on timeshare there. I don't know. I like Mark Ingram there. I think you could – I mean, obviously, I think you're going to play him.
I think this is a Mark Ingram week. Yeah, I think – a sneaking suspicion.
The bottom line is you're going to play him because he's been productive.
You got a hunch.
You know, he's been relatively productive. You're going to play him. I'm just saying I think the ceiling for him is relatively limited. Arizona at Seattle. Harmon, what do you got?
Yeah, this is an interesting game.
Is it going to be gross? Sure. Is it going to be high scoring? What's it going to be?
I don't know if Arizona gets much done. I mean, they can't pass protect.
But David Johnson gets all the points, right?
Well, yeah, of course. Okay. And David Johnson, you know, he wants to be one of the players that gets 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards. He's at 800 receiving yards right now. So, and Bruce Arians has been pretty open about, like, listen, you want to get some records? Come in here and get some records. We'll get you, you know, we'll do something. So, I think anything he's also chasing Arizona's season-high touchdown record as well. So,
yep.
I think DJ, even though, you know, it's theoretically a tough spot in Seattle, obviously, I think you can still set normal expectations for
him. Does anyone have any numbers regarding Seattle minus Earl Thomas? I mean, they've looked very human.
They have been beaten deep. Yeah. Same thing. It's the same sort of thing with the Harrison Smith trend that we just talked about. Like, I think when teams lose that, like, field general free safety, like, guys don't get lined up in the right positions like they're supposed, because that's what those guys are doing there in the back end.
Yeah.
I think that's a big deal with Earl Thomas. So, you know, I think that they can certainly get beat deep. And that is the interesting question, because there's, like, no way I want to play Larry Fitzgerald in this spot. He's slowing down physically. His role is decreasing. He has, I think, seen double-digit targets just once over the last month. So that's not something that you're really chasing at this point.
J.J. Nelson?
J.J. Nelson or John Brown, you know, both of those guys had to increase their playing time with Michael Floyd now in New England. Hell of a punishment for getting a DUI. I think both those guys have potential to get long touchdowns, do you really want to trust that? I mean, John Brown still played on 59% of the offensive plays. J.J. Sure. Nelson was about 78%. So,
if we think about Arizona's offense, though, they love to attack the deep seam.
They do, and that is – you know, theoretically where you want to attack.
That is
Seattle
one of the
right
cornerstones
now.
Of their offense is attacking that deep seam. Now, it hasn't worked for them this year, but they still go to it quite a bit. Seattle is not the same defense without Earl Thomas, especially in that part of the field.
Right. No, I mean,
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Carson Palmer actually has a nice day.
Yeah, because I could see him throwing, like,
I zoned out for a second. Look, and then I came back when I heard Carson Palmer has a nice day.
I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised.
I could, because, well, I see what you're saying, that I could see him throwing a long touchdown to either Nelson or Brown.
Yeah,
but I could also see him throwing three picks and getting sacked six times.
Yeah, they're offensive line. Their offensive
they can't like they can't protect. I think Carson Palmer is not as cooked as other people do, because I think he can still throw, but he can't move.
Right.
And they can't protect.
Okay.
So I think that's rough for Arizona's offense. On Seattle's side, I think this is a good spot for pretty much everybody outside of maybe Jimmy Graham.
How about Thomas Rawls?
Sure. I mean, he's at home. They should be favored, I think, at that point. Like, he's had one good game. Literally one good game.
That's what I'm saying.
He came back.
I know.
But I think it was in similar conditions to this, where they got ahead of Carolina. They blew the doors off him, and he was able to get going at home. So I think it's tough to trust Thomas Rawls, but I think that this could be a good spot for him. And then in the passing game, they just put Tyrann Mathieu on IR, who wasn't playing that well or was very healthy anyway. So I think that's good for Doug Baldwin. The tight end position has basically done nothing, averaged less than 30 yards per game against Arizona. They have good safeties. And I think what Brandon Cooks did to Arizona last week is good news for Tyler Lockett.
Oh,
who ran,
here we go.
The beat reporters in Seattle were saying coming into the game last week, before Thursday night, we obviously were not paying attention because we were at Star Wars. But they were going back and look at the reports. They were saying that he was going to play ahead of Jermaine Kearse. He was warming up ahead of him as the number two receiver. And we saw that come to fruition as had his best game of his career.
Love it.
We know that I don't think he's going to get shadowed by Peterson. If they didn't shadow Brandon Cooks, a speed receiver with Peterson, who's also, I think, dealing with an injury too.
He's got a little bit of a knee.
They're certainly not going to do that with Lockett. And, you know, we saw them blow coverage after coverage last week against Cooks. I think this could be a good game for Lockett, who averaged 4.4 yards per yards of separation on his targets last week. So I think we see good things from him.
Love it. Cincinnati at Houston. MG, what do you got?
There's nothing on the Cincinnati side that really excites me a whole lot. I mean, maybe you take a chance on Andy Dalton. You know, I wouldn't have a problem playing AJ Green, as we talked about a little bit earlier. Jeremy Hill looks like he's going to play this week after missing practice earlier in the week, but
literally he's had a good game in the last 2 months. He keeps finding the end zone, though, which is what keeps him fantasy relevant.
Hell yeah.
Hey, man.
But he's not playing well. He just keeps getting in the end zone.
No one's making that argument.
But there's nothing about the Cincinnati side that excites me a whole lot. On the Houston side, I mean, I'm curious to see what Tom Savage is going to do with a week of preparation under his belt. You know, I know everybody's super excited about what it potentially means for Nuke Hopkins because he has a quarterback who can actually throw the football to him and not just in his general area code. But the matchup's not great, so I think it's something to kind of temper your expectations for. Even last week, he had 17 targets, 15 from Savage, 87 yards. I mean, that's not crazy. Great.
That's what I think is good about this. Like, I'm not saying that Hopkins is about to suddenly have the ceiling that he had last year, but I think he actually has a floor again.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's something to keep an eye on there. Elsewhere, you know, don't worry about Lamar Miller. You're starting him. You know, I know he's kind of been banged up, and they've been holding him out of practice as a precaution, but he will get plenty of opportunities, so you can start start Lamar Miller. And as I mentioned, Fedora Goat or Ryan Griffin, depending on which of the tight ends is starting there.
But, so they're the same person.
They are kind of the same person. So I think that's it. Otherwise, there's not much, I think, fantasy-wise that's going to get you fired up here.
Two games on a Sunday, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. It's at Pittsburgh. Gale Haar, what do you see?
This is a good game for Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers passing attack. Jimmy Smith is out this week.
They've that helps.
Ruled him out. And it's been some pretty big... you know, we always talk about Ben's home road splits or whatever, but the Ravens have some pretty ghastly splits with and without Jimmy Smith this year. I had tweeted, and this is just FPA, but it's one indicator, and then our friend Graham Barfield came in with some more. But with Jimmy Smith in the lineup, Baltimore allows 13.91 fantasy points per game. That's over 10 games. Without, 19 points per game. And then Graham also had been looking at this, and the Ravens allow 190 passing yards per game with Smith and healthy. And when he's missed the game or left early, they've allowed 303.4 passing yards per game. So that is a sizable jump for that passing attack. I think you still start Bell. You don't worry about the Ravens' good run defense. I mean, he's Le'Veon Bell, so you're fine there. Ravens-wise, I don't know, man. I still have issues with this passing game because you never know who's going to get the targets.
Are you playing anybody in a Ravens uniform at
all? Maybe Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon, just because running backs are like, bleh. Like, I mean, Terrence West took the backfield back over last week after Dixon missed that pass pickup. But Dixon still got, like, if they get down or they're chasing points, we know Dixon can get a bunch of catches and stuff. So
you know how many catches he had last week?
He had one, I think, right?
I think he had zero.
Ah! Well, he got pulled. But this backfield's been up and down either way, so
no,
I'd
mean,
feel better
what...
about West. He's got really? the goal line upside. But, I mean, honestly, would anybody trust anybody in that passing attack?
No.
Smith?
No.
He's been up and down?
No one. Yeah. No one.
I would maybe deep sleeper Breshad Perriman.
Oh, Mike Wallace revenge game. I'd trust Mike Wallace.
Yeah, but he got his revenge last time.
He wants more revenge.
he needs more revenge in his life.
But yeah, so Pittsburgh feel a lot better about it. Baltimore, too many question marks.
Yeah, it's those AFC North games though, man. I don't know. They always end up seeming a lot closer than you would anticipate. We'll see. Denver at KC. Harmon, what do you got?
Yeah, so this game's interesting for Kansas City. I mean, I think you kind of know what the deal is. Travis Kelce had a great game against Denver, and tight ends that like move tight ends that line up in the slot or out wide have pretty much given Denver trouble all year. So I think Kelsey's a top two tight end this week.
Okay.
Which, you know, the franchise made the case in our Hipsters article that Tyreek Hill is an overrated play this week. I kind of agree with him. I have a hard time imagining Denver's going to let that guy beat them twice this year.
Right.
And he only touched the ball one time last week. Granted, he did take it 68 yards and a touchdown. But of these small, like, high-ceiling, low-floor guys like Lockett, Gabriel, and Hill, I would rank them in that order, Hill being the third preference there, the guy I have the least amount of confidence in. So I don't know if I'm desperate to play him. And then, you know, Spencer Ware, I think you play him even though the run game's been bad in Denver unless you have better options. So that's kind of that's it for KC,
okay,
basically. And then for Denver, you know, we saw Emmanuel Sanders be one of those receivers that ripped up the Chiefs at the left wide receiver position. They moved him right there to attack Philip Gaines last week, who gave up over 200 yards in coverage. Problem is Gaines is hurt, and they have some guy named Terrence Mitchell playing at left or right cornerback right now.
And he's played well. He's only allowed 7 catches for 53 yards on 18 targets in replace of Gaines, but you know, he's still somebody named Terrence Mitchell. I think you're starting the Denver receivers, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and that's basically all you want to do.
I just feel like there are going to be a lot of fantasy points to be had in this one.
Really?
I just have this weird feeling about that. That, like, you know, it'll be a close game. It'll be back and forth, but there won't be any. There won't just be any players that have huge.
Isn't that what we saw in the second half of their first meeting?
Yeah. See, and I think that, you know, typically, you know, statistically, people have done work on this. Like, those second divisional games are typically lower scoring anyways, and I think this will be a perfect example of that.
Interesting.
There was more offensive firepower in that first one than I think people expected, and I think
the first half was gross as hell, and then the second half just exploded.
Trevor Siemian went berserk.
Right. It's crazy. Yeah. Let's go to Monday night. Detroit at Dallas. Ah, man, there are so many fantasy assets in this game, and I don't know what the hell is going to happen. MG, can you clarify?
No. but I'll try.
Because Dallas is clinched up.
I count like 3 fantasy assets, and I mean, they're all wearing a star on their helmet.
Pretty much.
Oh, Golden Tate is a guy.
I mean, like, I don't trust Matt Stafford. Golden Tate should be okay. Somebody asked me, like, you know, should they start Anquan Boldin or Marvin Jones? And I'm like, well, if you're picking between those two, it's Boldin all the way. Like, I have way more faith in Anquan Boldin than I do in Marvin Jones at this point. Stay away completely from any of the Lions running backs.
Is Theo Riddick hurt? If he's not, he's ineffective.
Nobody really knows what – like, he's been missing the games, but then he's practiced, and then he missed the game last week.
I know.
Right. So we don't really know.
It doesn't matter.
And Detroit's not very open about it.
I don't want any part of Theo Riddick this week. I don't want any part of any Lions running back this week.
Okay. Let's go to the other side. Dallas.
Here's the thing. Don't worry about the Cowboys sitting guys, at least not this week.
Really?
Well, think about it. So – they're playing week 16.
Yeah.
They have a game week 17.
Yeah.
They have a bye in the first round of the playoffs.
It's true.
They're not going to start sitting guys right now. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to want these guys getting that much rest heading, especially with young players, with guys like Zeke and Dak. You're going to want them to stay out there, to stay in a rhythm, to stay comfortable. And I just can't see them sitting guys or limiting their touches this week. Maybe next week we can talk about that a little bit,
okay.
But I just don't think it's going to happen this week. So
that makes me feel a hell of a lot better.
So, you know, roll with Zeke. I think you're fine there. I mean, I think Dez, it's just hard to sit Dez because of who he is. I actually would stay away from Dak. I don't know that I would want to trust Dak
really?
In this situation. I mean, first off, he hasn't been particularly great for the last 3 to 4 weeks. And Detroit... these teams are a lot like each other in the sense that they both want to play keep away from the opposing offenses.
Okay.
They're slow.
This game might actually be finished in like 2 hours because they're just going to, you know, between Dallas running the football and Detroit throwing these like short high percentage passes, the clock could just keep running and they could be in and out of here in like, you know, a couple hours and back
hilarious.
On the plane. So, you know, like I said, I think the guys that you would normally start for Dallas, I think you're starting anyway. But yeah, I don't know. There's nothing about it that, again, that screams out to me like this is going to be a high scoring affair.
All right, Daily Daps and get out.
Let's do it.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Daps and Hooks. Give me daps, cause I be scribbling rap.
Give me dapping up, daps about, daps up.
All right, Daily Dap time. How about I start us off this time? I wanted to Daily Dap the Danger Zone League. I'm in the finals there. I went berserk in this league. I don't even know how I went about doing it. I finished with a – I did not even a humble brag, just straight brag. 12-1 in this league, and I've rumbled through the playoffs as well. I'm in the finals. I'm taking a guy who went 10-3, Carlvin, and he is the guy whose son wrote me a letter.
Oh, yes. I remember that guy.
So the one who said Gelhar's was a buzzkill?
No, that's another guy. That's another guy.
I get them all mixed up. There's so many.
his son wrote another letter going into the finals.
Oh, I'm here for this.
Yes. Dear Mr. Coe, my dad told me he's playing you in the championship of the Danger Zone League. I want to thank you for adding him to your league. It earned me a new Xbox game. Now, if my dad wins, jackpot, a new art set and a sketch pad are in my hands. I am a nice kid, and I care about others.
Okay, you can't throw this for the kid, though. You can't do that.
Oh, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
I gotta teach that kid a cold, hard lesson about fantasy football.
You know what's so funny? I got this letter. The first thing I did was check my roster.
Yeah.
I'm like, let me make sure I got the right guys. I actually made pickups this week.
Is anybody else on the waiver wire?
I've made like three pickups the entire year.
Okay.
And two of them were this week.
Oh, boy. I love it. I love it.
He goes on to say, I am a nice kid and I care about others, but I hope my dad destroys you in your league. Merry Christmas, smiley face, your BFF, Tyler, in a giant football picture on the note as
Did
well.
Did he finish it with keep the change, you filthy animal? Like,
but yeah, man. I guess his dad is promising him if he wins, if he beats me, he's going to get a new art set and a new sketch pad. Listen, kid, life is full of disappointment.
This is true. This is a good time for you to learn this. It's early. It's early.
What better way to learn life lessons than through fantasy football? That's what I got to say.
The cold, harsh reality of everything you know will let you down at some point.
I'm just saying, I hope I absolutely destroy this guy.
I'm kind of rooting for the other guy now.
All right. I don't know. Anyways, Daily I'm kidding, man. Hey, listen, Daily Daps, though, to that kid for writing me that letter, that's pretty awesome. So there you go. All right, MG, what you got?
First, an anti-dap. This won't be the first time, but an anti-dap to 2016 because it just keeps on taking.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
I'm sure you guys may have seen coming across Twitter as we were doing this podcast. Carrie Fisher suffered a major heart attack on a flight on an airline. And,
she's in critical condition.
Critical condition in a hospital in Los Angeles. So,
I didn't know that.
2016
just happened.
It literally just came across Twitter as we were doing this podcast. But 2016 is taking until the end. So screw you. But daps to, and I'm late. I know I'm late on this train, but I finally started watching Black Mirror the other day.
Yes.
Amazing.
Black Mirror's so good.
Outstanding. I'm only a couple episodes into it, but even just the first one was
I'm
just
on
like
season three.
Oh my goodness. Because like the first season is just what, two episodes, I think.
Three. First is three, the second is like four, and the third one was Netflix only and it's like six.
Right. So I mean it's not like you are making a major commitment to it, but it's an anthology series, all about kind of it's in the near future where basically technology combined with the basest of human instincts collide into some really weird stories.
It's just twisted permutations of where technology could lead us.
Right.
And there's always different characters, different realities, different stories, but it's awesome.
Yeah. I know I'm late on that train, but I just started watching it, and my goodness, it's amazing.
It almost sounds like a British version of Twilight Zone?
Sort of.
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat. There are some Twilight Zone elements.
Okay. Great.
It's great.
Matt Harmon.
Yeah, I'm going to just keep it simple here. Daily daps to my dad, who is on his way here.
Oh, cool.
He will be spending Christmas out here in L.A. Nice.
Hal Harmon in the house.
Hal Harmon, my father, my dad.
Bro, should we get him on the pod?
I mean, he could come on the pod on Monday.
That's not bad.
I don't know if he'll want to.
Yeah, he probably won't.
Do you want to come on my dumb podcast that nobody likes? Just kidding. I know people really like his podcast. Yeah. We really like you for liking it. But yeah, he'll be here. I mean, his flight will. He's already texted me. Said his flight's going to be like 20 minutes delayed, which is great.
Yep. Typical. Holiday travel.
I'm sure it'll be
enjoy the airport. I was there yesterday, and it was unfun.
Sure, it's going to be a treat.
You could get some In-N-Out on your way there.
Oh, Dude, hell yeah, you could.
No, you couldn't because that In-N-Out next. So for those of you listening who've never been to Los Angeles, there is an In-N-Out burger
right there, literally right next
to LAX. And it's the place that either
basically Mos Eisley. And
if you've been away from LA and you're coming back, like you want to stop there first to get an In-N-Out burger, or if you are like visiting LA and you're heading back to the airport, like it is a train wreck of a place. Like because you have people ordering food, going in the drive-thru, or people who are just sitting out in front of there waiting for somebody to call them so that you can go and pick them up.
There's two reasons you don't want to stop at that In-N-Out. One, because of that reason that people use it as like a shuttle spot.
Yeah.
And two, because it's In-N-Out and it's overrated. You could just not.
Cut his mic.
What in the hell?
Cut his mic.
Overrated.
It's
overrated, dude. It's just another fast food place.
Cut his mic.
What?
I'm just saying.
That literally makes no sense.
No, it makes complete sense. You're just...
You're not only going against the grain, you're going against the popular opinion of millions of people.
Okay, well, that's fine. Millions of people are wrong. That's would that be the first time that millions of people have been wrong?
I think Harmon, and the reason I mentioned In-N-Out is cuz this was happening on Twitter this morning too. But I think people are misassociating with the fact that so many people love In-N-Out, like you guys locals and me and adopted Angelino because they do what they do the best. They make like the best fast food hamburger.
They make a fine fast food hamburger.
They make the best. And
that's,
it's super affordable. And it's super affordable, and that's all everybody says. I think people outside of it that hear about In-N-Out being all the rage, they come and they're like, oh, it's just a hamburger. This place sucks.
It doesn't
that's
suck.
Not, that's not it's, what anybody was saying.
If you want to kill yourself and eat fast food, then sure, you can kill yourself and eat fast food at In-N-Out Burger, and it's fine. But it's not like anything better than any other fast food place.
That's incorrect.
So I think our friend of the podcast, Adam Harstad, who are you? Am I cut? Am I talking?
No, I was just you were yelling, so I was turning you down.
Friend of the podcast, Adam Harstad, who writes for Football Guys, had a great tweet about this subject.
What is it?
He said,
"Where's he from?"
He's from Texas.
Okay, go ahead.
It's like, so if you, I mean, yeah, if you want to eat at Wendy's, but also love, if you love the taste of Wendy's, but want to wait 3 hours to get it, In-N-Out Burger's for you.
So I'm sure he loves that trash Whataburger.
A Whataburger, well,
that is just as good as
Whataburger. Is
Whataburger is just as good.
It's the same thing.
No, because one of them is good and one of them is not.
You sheep are just lining up. eating at the pasture.
One of those two is good. The other one is Whataburger.
Listen, I'm just telling you, In-N-Out is
fine.
The funny thing is,
I like Whataburger. I like Whataburger, but you can't even compare these two things.
Dude, it is the same thing. Oh, it's fast food. All taste the same.
No.
Oh, my God.
It's basically Wendy's and In-N-Out. It's the same thing.
When you go to a summer barbecue and you get a burger, do you think it's the same thing as a fast food restaurant?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that invalidates your whole argument. If you think a burger at a barbecue is the same as a fast food burger.
I was confused by your question.
No, stop.
How can you be confused?
I was confused. These questions are leading. No, of course. That's what I'm saying.
He just wants to be contrarian so bad.
I know. This is BS.
You're such a hipster.
This is BS. No. A good burger. I love burgers. Burgers are great. I would take a real good burger over any fast food burger any day. That's the point. The point is that this is just any other fast food burger. If you lined up every fast food burger, I probably couldn't even tell you which one was In-N-Out because they all taste the damn same.
That's incorrect.
End this freaking show.
Oh my!
I'm right.
God.
You're all wrong.
Okay, Alex Gilhar.
Okay, that spiraled farther out of control than I wanted, but I'm glad I was here for that insanity.
It's your own fault.
I know. I said I wanted it to happen. Anyways, my daily dab is going to go to Christmas movies in general. Okay. I love Christmas movies, but it's also another part because like people need to stop putting arbitrary parameters on what is and isn't a Christmas movie.
Okay.
Like, I mean, people crap on Die Hard saying it's not a Christmas movie. I forget which side of this argument you lie on, Marcus. I think you say it's not.
It is not a Christmas movie. It is a movie that takes place around Christmas.
It is. Okay. Is Home Alone a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Why is it a Christmas movie?
Because it celebrates the spirit of Christmas with a young man who wants to be with his family.
My point is like John McClane goes back to L.A. for Christmas. Let me get to my point. The McAllisters leave Kevin home alone because they're traveling for what? Christmas.
Yes.
Now, people are like, oh, it's the spirit of Christmas. It's just a good old-fashioned story about this kid surviving bandits. Well, somebody from Vice actually did a research thing. They interviewed an EMT in New York and had him watch all of the booby trap scenes from Home Alone and Home Alone 2 and rate the severity of the actual damage they should have done to that person
or the
fatality level. Most of them are like killing them.
Yes.
So, you know, Fabiano too was on a rant the other day on Twitter like, Die Hard's not a Christmas movie because Christmas isn't about murdering people and stuff. These guys should be dead.
I love Die Hard.
Should have multiple homicide counts against him.
I love Die
Manslaughter,
Hard.
Manslaughter, baby.
Yeah. I love Die Hard.
Manslaughter,
I just don't think it's a
Christmas movie. So anyways, just enjoy these movies. If Christmas is central to the plot, enjoy them. White Christmas starts out on a World War II battlefield, and that's one of the hallmarks of Christmas movies. So enjoy them. Enjoy them in the Christmas spirit.
I've said this a million times. That's like saying Jaws is a nature flick.
It is, right?
Oh, for God's sake.
It takes place in nature.
So stupid. That's what I'm saying. It's not a nature flick.
They're all under the umbrella of Christmas movies and then some.
First of all, this plays right into Harmon's Nothing Matters narrative.
No, that's not true.
I mean, everything is the same. Nothing
matters.
Oh,
that is. You are completely misrepresenting who I am, and you will be hearing from my attorney. for slandering me.
All right, but anyways.
Just to clear it up.
Yes, please.
My take is that we need to break down every bit of minutia possible in life, and this being number one. But in the end, yeah, you're right. Everything does matter. I mean, nothing matters. Okay, like, everything is meaningless, but at the same
time. Everything is meaningless. Nothing matters.
But we should make sure we categorize and emphasize.
Forget about nihilist Arby's. We need a nihilist Harmon account.
How about
that's just called Matt Harmon.
It's called Matt Harmon _ BYD.
We already have that one.
All right, we should probably get out of here.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Let's
get that. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas. I can't believe this pod went this long. We talked about nothing.
Bro, we crossed 80 minutes.
That's amazing.
Oh, God.
For Alex Gelhar, MG Mike, Marcus Grant, Matt Harmon, I'm James Kell. We're out. See you later.
I'm going to do the podcast in my NPR voice.
NPR fantasy.
Just so I get used to it.
Thank you.
Oh, James Coe, thank you for...
Please do not. Please do not.
I'm doing it this whole episode. You can't stop me.
Do not.
Well, you turned your mic off.
Well, f*** it. If you're going to turn my mic off, I'll just go home.
These are the options. These are the options.
I mean, either, yeah, if you're going to turn my mic off, I'll just leave.
We either get NPR Harmon or he leaves. Yes. Those are the options.
Those are options.
All right.